if you start, hire an accountant from day one. I don't care how good you are at math. The second that you start talking about depreciation and how much money and interest you owe to people, you don't want none of that, man. Like, you can have the conversation with your accountant and your CPA, but again, if you start this shit, budget for and utilize a professional, real estate-minded tax advisor, CPA, all-encompassing or a variation thereof, in order to be successful out of the gate.
You're listening to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the number one resource for active duty veterans and their families who want to learn how to build real wealth through real estate investing. Each week, we sit down with top military real estate investors, industry experts, and leaders who share their secrets to success in the real estate game. Now, get off your ass, get motivated, and take action to make your financial freedom dreams a reality.
Huge news, ADPI Nation. For years now, I've been working on a secret mini Manhattan project designed to provide our community of over 70,000 military real estate investors with unfettered access to commercial real estate projects. Well, I'm proud to announce that ADPI Capital's Equity Fund 1 is officially live and currently accepting qualified passive investors. In today's economic uncertainty, it's super important to have a diversified portfolio of hard assets working for you. And if you think your money is safe just chilling in the TSP, consider this. Over the past 15 years, commercial real estate has outperformed top market investment indices and IRAs. With minimum investments starting at just $500, it's never been easier for the military community to earn passive income with commercial real estate. Text ADPI to 33777 or head on over to www.adpicapital.com to learn how you can get started with Equity Fund 1 today. The securities herein offered by this issuer, as herein above mentioned, are highly speculative. Investing in such securities involves significant risk, including possible loss of the principal amount of investment. What is going on, ADPI Nation? This is your host, Kevin Brenner. And today on the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, we have another fantastic guest, Mr. Jamie Tilke. Tilke, am I saying it right? Is it Tilke, Tilke? What do you got for me?
Tilke, I like it. That sounds good. I might change it.
But how do you actually say it?
It's Tilke. It's a German Tilke. Descent.
Okay, yeah. Tilke. Because when we started this podcast in pre-show for our listeners out there, I was like, oh, is it Jamie or is it Jaime? Yeah. So I never got over that. And he's like, and you had told me like your first sergeant back in the day, like called you up and was like, Jaime. And you're like, what?
Yeah. He never called me Jamie, by the way. But anyway.
Yeah. So I think that's just my time in Miami has rubbed off a little bit on me. But Jamie's got an incredible story to share with us. Former Green Beret, was in the Army for 24 years and got out and started doing real estate in the Fayetteville area outside of Fort Bragg, which is now Fort Liberty, I believe. Is that correct? Fort Liberty. Correct. And was, you know, he's got a kind of really, really cool story about how he was able to find a need, being the constant people traveling into the area, into Fayetteville, and was able to create an upscale boutique hotel and build a lot of assets in that area while also selling real estate and investing in real estate. So he has the agent investor hat on, but also the, you know, kind of short-term rental hotel hospitality operator hat on. So lots of different hats. And of course, the Green Beret, right? Which is now off because you're retired, but yep. It's, I guess that hat's probably always on. But Jamie, yeah, I mean, God, there's so much to get started here. I think let's give our audience just a quick background of your military background, but more so in the sense of why you wanted to get into real estate while you were in the military and then post-military.
Yeah. Well, I think probably for the context of this conversation, I'm going to give you a 30-second version of childhood till the military, right? So grew up in super poverty, right? Like, I mean, we moved sometimes three times a year because, you know, we were a welfare family and couldn't afford it and stuff. So never really was fiscally responsible because I really didn't understand money, right? So again, relevant to the entirety of this conversation. So fast forward all the way through high school and then onward, I never really gained a good control of it. Even my time in my military, joined the military in 1995. I got done watching Rambo and I went into recruiters and they had laser disc just to spare myself.
Laser disc, I remember that.
He showed me the video and it's just like, you'll learn how to devenomize snakes and shit. And I was like, oh, dang. And so I was like, I'm going to join and be an Army Ranger. And I didn't even know what the hell that meant. And then I got in there and I was like, damn, what did I sign up for? But so anyways, I did my 24 years. But in 2007, I was first exposed to the Purple Book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my aha moment, if you will, of dang, I super don't understand money and I super waste the shit out of it. Oh, apologize for that. I'll keep the vernacular down.
It's all right. We got a lot of adults listening to this.
So this part I didn't present in my little bio, and that is because I tend to be the guy that's going to build the airplane in flight or jump out without a parachute and then forget to put it on. Within 48 months after reading that book, I bought two houses with my LES only. This is pre-2008 crash.
And oh, no.
I bought one. I was a single parent with three kids. I bought one. I was going to live upstairs. I was going to redo the basement and rent it out to military people. I was going to house hack. Anyway, I ended up deploying to Iraq, lost the house, the market crashed, and I lost everything. So I was like, dang, I definitely didn't have my stuff wired tight. So I basically put real estate on the back burner, but I always had a passion for it. The passion of the concept, like, you know, wow, this is so cool because I played Monopoly a lot when I was a kid. So fast forward to present day, just to keep it all rolling with your question, is that it was right around the time that I left Okinawa, Japan, and came back to Fort Bragg. And I told my wife, we're going to be real estate millionaires. And she's like, that's ridiculous. We're six figures in debt. And, you know, you can't take me out to dinner. And I was like, I know, I'm going to sell the only thing we have. She's like, what's that? I'm like, I'm going to sell this guy. And she's like, what does that mean? And I said, I have the vision. I have the passion. I have the determination, grit, perseverance, and all those characteristic traits to get it done. But I just don't have the money. So I said, I'm going to talk to people that have money and then we're going to do it. And that's kind of how the boutique hotel thing came to be. So with all my vast military experiences and traveling during the latter half, I definitely did a lot of time in the hotels. I was staying in the Ritz-Carlton in Malaysia, and I was just looking around. I was like, this place is so awesome, man. And I was like, there's got to be a way to provide upscale, really nice places for military personnel, but still be able to make money, right? I want to provide a great service, but I don't want to lose money. So anyway, that's when the whole concept came up. And I said, I think Fayetteville, I ran a bunch of spreadsheets and I said, I think Fayetteville is the place that this can happen. And that's kind of how that whole thing came to be. Again, I was on TDY in Fort Bragg at the time, and my son came to visit me. And I don't know if you've ever been to that installation, but the rooms, there's a bed, there's one chair.
Oh my God, they're so bad.
TV set. And it was just ridiculous. Like, it's so impersonal. And I was like, man, why can't we build something better? So that's kind of how the whole thing came to be, was having those significantly contrasting things, right? Super crappy hotel and then the Ritz-Carlton. And I was like, there's got to be something closer to the Ritz-Carlton experience that we can do for military people so that when they're here, TDY, it makes their time a little less painful for being away from the family.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, I was Air Force for nearly 10 years. And I remember, so I most of my career, I was stationed with the Army, except my first duty assignment. Well, I guess technically my last one too, but for a big chunk of it, I was with the Army at Fort Stewart and Hunter Army Airfield. And, the thing I realized that the hotels there, they were privatized on Army bases. And in the Air Force, they were Air Force Inns. That's what they were called. And they were crap. Don't get me wrong. They were not nice. You know, I would TDY a lot and, you know, it was the Air Force Inn. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. I wonder what the Army side is like, because I started TDYing to Fort Bragg and these other places. And I was like, well, they must be nicer because they're privatized, right? Like, obviously there's brands and all of this stuff and they must control the quality. No, it was exactly how you described it. And I was like, it wasn't, I wouldn't say it's nicer or worse off than the Air Force Inn, but they were equally bad. I was just like you walk in, you have like this carpeted room, you have like this Zenith television that's like huge. and it's just like, what year did I just walk into? Amen. And then there's like mold and asbestos everywhere. And you're like, what is happening?
That, I mean, what you just said, like, I mean, I'm 51, right? So the few times we did get to travel when I was in the same comforter set that they used in the freaking Holiday Inn Howard Johnson or something like that back in 1982, they're still using in the military. I'm like, come on, people. Anyway, it's horrible. It really, really is.
So that's where that idea came from to kind of do this boutique experience. But kind of coming back to your story and unpacking it a little bit more, I found it interesting. You said something that I want to highlight and just about the grit and perseverance and determination. And these are a lot of skills that a lot of the military community we have instilled into us, no matter your career field. I mean, you get through basic training, whatever you do. I mean, it sucks. You know, I'm constantly reminded, like being, you know, where we are with active duty, passive income, constantly surrounded by military folks. And some people have been through, like yourself, have been through way harder things than I've ever been through with deployments and whatever, but it's not a competition. It's not it's when you compare it to the average human being who, like, you know, remember, we're the 1% of the United States who served. When you compare it to the other 99%, they're like, wait, what? You went through basic training? That sounds terrible. Yep. And they're just, but you know, everyone's got a different perspective and they see the world in a different lens, but it does, it builds that grit, that determination, that confidence. And no matter what, if you don't have the money and you have the concept and the idea down, then you can go and do that. So I want to ask you a couple questions about that, Jamie, but like when you were, you know, when you sat down, you know, obviously you read the Purple Bible, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which a lot of people, I mean, that was my light bulb moment too. Same kind of story. But like when you read that and you started to get inspired, and sure, you made some mistakes, you know, a lot of people got burned in 2008. But when you came back and told your wife, hey, we're going to be real estate millionaires. And she said, yeah, right. Like, what gave you that confidence? And then what gave you that confidence to go and approach most likely strangers or at very best acquaintances with money, with an idea? Because I think that's the next level that a lot of our community is like, hey, I understand this, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the answer to that question for me personally is, I think there's always been an innate, like, feeling characteristic traits of, I can accomplish it, I can do it, right? Mm-hmm. But then to your point, you stack on top of that all the trials and tribulations that you have to go to be in the military at all, let alone becoming a Ranger, right? Like, and I'm talking about, I went to Ranger Battalion, right? Not taking anything away from Ranger School, but different experience, you know, Ranger indoctrination program, and then eventually Special Forces selection and stuff like that. So in fact, one of the things I tell the people the story when I tell them it is, I'm like, you know, you can't really see me, but I'm 6'2". And when I joined the military, I was 145 pounds, man. You can see my rib cage. People are like, bro, you are never going to make it. And I was like,
but you did watch Rambo, to be fair.
Yeah, fair enough, right? So I had my visual stimulation. But no joke, and I think that most other, you know, guys that work in the special operations community would agree with me when I say this, is that I literally watch guys on my left that can bench 400 pounds, but they didn't get selected. They didn't make it. Guy over here, he runs 2 miles in 10:30, but he didn't make it. You know why? I say because the greatest attribute you need to have is your mind, right? And it's like a lot of people start doubting themselves and questioning themselves, like, what is the meaning of life? Why am I doing this? Why am I subjecting myself to that? And so I dealt with, look, sometimes when I used to reflect back on my childhood, you know, I had some animosity because I grew up with my mother, four women, no father. And then I did get to visit my father and I saw that they had a completely another lifestyle. And to me, I was like, that's bullshit, right? Yeah. But I would not be sitting here talking to you today had I not been subjected to the hardships that I endured. I absolutely believe that it made me who I am. And to your point, just like embedded just at a visceral level of, you know, you can sit here and be a victim, or you can get off your ass and you can do something about it and you can change your circumstances. My first job was 11 years old and I delivered newspapers, 250 of them, woke up at 2:50 in the morning. The driving factor for me was this. We were so poor and in such a small town that back then in the 80s, everybody was getting Samba Classics and they have three stripes on there. We went to Kmart and we bought Trax, T-R-A-X. They only had two stripes. So when I came rolling into school, there's zero doubt in everybody's mind, you're poor. You know, you don't have nothing. And in some circumstances, wearing people's donated clothes, right? So that was my drive and ambition. It's like, I wanted money because I wanted to change my circumstances. But all of my failures between then and current day were because I didn't understand how to use money, right? Had I had somebody mentor me and educating like what you guys got here, trying to give active duty personnel and saying, listen, you have so much that you can leverage while you are on active duty, to be able to truly become a millionaire. And I don't want to digress. I want to come back and I want to fully answer your question. I think that it's your mind, man. You got to have the will in order to be able to get through those, to build the habits that are required for consistency. Without consistency, I tell everybody, 99% of the people, fear is the number one thing that's going to inhibit them from going after all their aspirations. Okay, great. I passed that. I'm going to do it. Now I'm standing at the proverbial cliff. I'm looking down. All my buddies are down there swimming in the water. They're having a great time. Come on, jump on down, Jamie. We want you to be here. Fuck, man, that's a long way down. I don't want to jump, right? How long am I going to sit there, or am I going to turn around and never jump? And that's where I think that you got to have cheerleaders next to you. And also you have to have, you know, you have to have some proof of concept. So maybe you take some small little things in order to be able to get there. But I think the military helped instill that in me even at a greater level. And I think, just for the sake of time, I'll end it right with this one vignette. And that is, up until 1999, which I had been in the Army for 4 years by that point, I never thought that I was like mentally incapable, but I definitely didn't think I had any intelligence either. I just thought I was just a random dude that was meandering through life. But that's when the Army came out and they said, we need Chinese interrogator speakers. The first 20 people that volunteer, we're going to give a $20,000 bonus. I was at my end of my Ranger regiment time. I was like, boom, I'm going to take that gig. And to get to the point is this, we started with 20, we ended with 9. And that was the first time in my life that I was like, maybe I actually have something else to work with upstairs besides just, you know, a mainstream intellectual capacity. And then you compound that with making it through Special Forces selection and all the things that, even all the specialty schools inside there, then you have to pass those. And I ended up going on and doing 2 additional languages besides Chinese. And so all of those wins just compound. Right. So then when it comes to reading the purple book and being like, hey, how do you put this into action? I'm like, that's not a problem. Right. One of my favorite books, you can see books behind me, and that's 1/10 of what we have. Right. But it's not about how you're going to do it. It's about who's going to do it. Right. To include myself. Right. So I'm going to get this thing up and off the ground. And then after that, we'll figure the shit out on the fly.
Yeah.
But if you just let that fear just take over you, then guess what? As I like to tell my children, accept mediocrity, punch the time clock, come back home, sip a cocktail, do whatever makes you happy. And if that's what makes you happy, congratulations. But I couldn't see myself retiring being that guy that's just going to go to the bank and start fishing and be content. Nothing wrong with fishing. If you love fishing, fantastic, happy for you. But for me, because of all the visionary shit going on inside my head, I just lay awake at night just trying to contrive new, you know, entrepreneurial type of concepts. And I just love real estate. I love a lot of things about it. And I love the fact that it's a tried and true way. I would argue probably the most stable way for anybody to become independently wealthy, starting from literally zero. Again, less than zero. I started from -6 figures. And within 36 months, we accumulated $4 million in assets under management. So how do you do that? You got to persevere. Yeah. You got to grind.
Yeah, no, and we're gonna break into that story next. I think.
Sorry.
No, that was a great transition. You're doing my job for me. I love it. No, but like just some things that kind of inspired me during the answer to those questions was you being on that cliff, and that cliff metaphor of come on in, Jamie, come on, just jump in. It's gonna be fine. Those cheerleaders that are there, that's the community. Right. Cool. In an active duty, passive income, you know, you're listening to this podcast. That is the community. That is our brand new ADPI campus. That's who you need surrounding you, because if you can't see your next level, like if you can't see someone who's doing what you want to do successfully and they're, then that person's not in your network, then you feel 100% alone. And when you feel alone, that fear of the unknown starts creeping in, getting darker and surrounding you. And it's this shroud, this mist, right? That you feel like you have to be, you know, Christopher Columbus and discover it all on your own. But the fact of the matter is that people have been trading real estate for thousands and thousands of years. It's not that complicated. And to your point, Jamie, yeah, it's like one of the tried and true ways to become independently wealthy, and using what you have learned or what the skills that you have in the military, it's so that perseverance and that just concept of, you know what, everything is figure outable, and as long as I surround myself with the right people, and we take a team approach, then it's going to be fine. And so many people don't understand that because they let fear control them. They let fear drive their decision making day in and day out. And it could be the fear of, oh man, I don't want to spend X amount of dollars, a scarcity mindset. I don't want to spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on a course or a mastermind or a networking event. I mean, you just told me, Jamie, you just dropped $4K on an event. It was a 2-day event, but you were in the room with 20 people. And guess what? Those other 19 people you were in the room with, they're just as dedicated with you. They dropped $4K too. So you think they're going to make it worth their while for 2 days? Bet your bottom dollar they are. Like that. That's why. And I'm sure some deals went down. I'm sure it was a super awesome event. And like, that's the level of that's what we as the military can bring to the civilian sector. And I think that's what makes military members that fearlessness and the lens that we see the world through, because we can always go back and say, yeah, this deal went bad and I didn't make as much money as I thought I was, or maybe I broke even, or hell, maybe I even lost, you know, a couple thousand dollars, but it's a lot better than selection school. At least I'm not like starving to death, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so awesome, Kevin, what you just said. And so I don't know if you mind, but I'll just take 60 seconds and really speak to your community about what you just said. I mean, and I'm going to narrow it down to a single word, man: proximity. Mm. Proximity is everything, right? So you got to get in the room. Stop effing talking about it and get in the freaking room. Every single circumstances that you put you in, you are incrementally drawing closer to having a success story. But if you sit there in analysis paralysis and never take action, then forget about it. As Jeff Probst says in Survivor, I got nothing for you. Head back to camp, man. Like peace and chicken grease. I'll see you on the flip side. I ain't talking about this shit no more. You want to do something? Do it. Right? I'm scared. Yeah. We all are. But that's the differentiator, right? As I kind of, honestly, after I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, then I just started inundating myself with books and books and books over and over and over again. Either self-help or real estate minded and investing in, you know, centric books and stuff. And I had this moment where I'm literally driving down the road and I'm saying to myself, why is not everybody doing this? It's easy. It's easy in concept, but it's not easy in application. And again, back to the cliff, most people, it's fear, right? But then let's take the percentage of people that slipped past the fear, but then they hit one obstacle, right? They're like, I'm out. Yeah. I'm like, okay. Again, look, you want raw material. I'm telling you, in the past week, I've thought about quitting probably 2 or 3 times. I mean, my wife and I, we wake up in the morning, we have our little morning coffee session, and we're talking about all the good and the bad. And unfortunately, right now, we're in a season of bad. And there's just a lot of reasons. This is not a boasting, bragging thing, but with my military credentials, I could easily, all day and twice on Sunday, get a 6-figure job. I'd argue that I could probably pack in a multiple 6-figure job, right? But then I'm back to the grind. And then I'm going to deploy another 9 months, going to be doing stuff that potentially may make it so you can't come back home and stuff, and all that time lost with your family and stuff. So anyway, I just want to, I guess I'll close out my statement by, I love what you said. I hope that everybody that listens that's in your community understands it. And if there's a single thing that you take away from this podcast you're listening today, it's like, I don't care if you're a private or if you're a freaking full bird colonel, right? If you got a cash or a means or a way or an end in order to be able to invest and make money, you are doing a disservice to yourself, to your family, and everybody by not doing that. And if that's what you want and it's comfortable, then do your thing, man. But if that's not, like, do it. I forced my kids to invest in real estate. All three out of my 5 kids are in the service right now. I made them buy real estate. And it got tense, right? They're like, I don't want to do it. And shut up. I'm going to make you a multimillionaire by the time you're 35. Now, my son, and I'm going to stop after this and give it back to you. I apologize for my rant, Kevin, but my son, 36 months ago, 0 houses. Now, a little over $500,000, 2 assets, cash flow in $2,000 a month. He's an E6, 25 years old. No, wait, I cheated him, 27, I think. But anyway, that's not my point. So, and now he gets it. I look at him and he just laughs. I go, why are you laughing? I know why he's laughing. He laughs because when I'm right. Right. And he's like, I get it. And so now he's in it to win it. And I said, dude, you pick up two more apartments, maybe three at most, you're past $1 million. Are you kidding me? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
No, that's what this podcast is about. It's about the rant. It's about the realness. It's about the conversation that not just pushes people over the edge, but gives them that perspective. Because, I mean, Jamie, you're right. Most people won't. They're going to run into that first obstacle and then they're going to turn around. And that's honestly, that's okay. But for folks in the military, we know that we have that perspective, that lens to go and say, listen, we've been through some worse stuff before in our lives, most likely, whether it was downrange, whether it was at some crappy TDY or training or something like that, that it's not that bad. And you can go and lean back and say, you know, at least that, and I always come back to this and like, at least bombs aren't falling on me. Like it could be worse, you know? And I think there's Gary Keller in one of his many, many books.
The One Thing.
It might be The One Thing. It might be another one, but he says there is no such thing as a real estate emergency. Mm. And if you think about it, he's right. There is no, like, you laugh about it. You're like, we've all been, a lot of us have been in things that were like life and death emergencies, you know, like whatever it is, wartime or not. That does not exist in real estate. Like, it's just not, you know? So, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So if you have that perspective in life, you should do your best to leverage that perspective, to pull yourself up from your bootstraps, proverbial or not, and go out and get it, just like Jamie says. So I want to go into this story, Jamie, about how, you know, you got started, because that's the biggest thing, you know, that we hear in that the active duty passive income community. And honestly, that's why we created our boot camp course in ADPI Campus. If you have no idea what ADPI Campus is, just go to www.adpicampus.com. Get yourself in there. It is our new private community, and it's incredible. So yeah, anyway. But we built this boot camp to get people just a baseline understanding of how to get started. And you did the traditional method, similar to the method that I did, where I just read a bunch of books and slowly started surrounding myself with people and jumped in feet first and made a bunch of mistakes, but ended out, you know, in 3 years or 3.5 years becoming a millionaire. And people can do that. You know, people can follow that footsteps. But luckily, I didn't start from a position of debt. You started in a more impressive position. Like, you were in a position of debt. So for folks who are like, maybe they got a crappy credit score, maybe they're saddled with debt right now, like, what can you do to persevere? That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I'm going to answer that question right by what you presented in the ad. If I was in the service right now and knowing what I know right now, and I went back 15 years ago, let's say that I'm an E4. And my credit score is 549, and I got $20,000 worth of credit cards, and I got no money in the bank, but I got the idea. I've educated myself. I've listened to these podcasts at ADPI. I've listened to Bigger Pockets. I'm just constantly consuming everything and anything, and I have a general idea of what it takes to be able to get involved into real estate. Every single mentor that I've ever had since I started real estate, consistently they say, just get the first deal done, right? Mm-hmm. Stop trying to hit a home run right out of the park. Just get a base hit. If you're on first, you're one base closer to getting to home, right? But if you never take a swing, well, then congratulations, you're never going to get on base. And so with that said, if I was going back to that hypothetical that I just, you know, lined out for you, I'd talk to a couple of my post buddies. I would educate them, show them the enthusiasm, show them the pathway. Hey, listen, I listen to this ADPI podcast, and this guy's saying that he did it from nothing. Matter of fact, he was at six figures. So again, for the vast majority of your community, it's unlikely that most of you are in a worse situation than I was, right? And again, I'm not saying that because I'm proud. It's actually quite embarrassing, but I share it with people. I do that, you know, full open kimono, if you will, because I want people to be inspired by, like, if that dude can do it from six figures in debt, then why can't I? So again, back to your point, then align yourself with one of your good buddies that you trust that has a good credit score. So you might even have to do a three partner deal. So maybe, all right, my name's Bob. Rick has a 750 credit score, but he's got no money in the bank. Okay, that's fine. What about Jimmy? Well, Jimmy's been super diligent. He's been saving 33% of his freaking, he puts all his shit in TSP, and he's got like 50 grand in there. Hey, guess what, Jimmy? I don't know if you knew, but there's this thing called self-directed IRAs. Do you know you could take all that money out of your TSP, plop it in a self-directed IRA, then you have full access, non-taxable event, invest that into this structure. And because of that, we're going to do triplets. You get 33%. Bob gets 33%. I get 33%. Now, everybody's like, well, Dan, he's putting all the money, right? But he's just a limited partner in LP, right? He's sitting on the sideline. He ain't doing all the work. He gave you the capital, right? And then all that money has to go reinvested back into a self-directed IRA. I don't want to get down in the minutia because it's going to pull away from the concept. All I'm simply saying is this, and I love talking in analogies if you haven't figured that out yet. So we just flipped up a puzzle box. It's got 25 pieces. First thing we're going to do is build the border, right? Build a border, educate yourself. Now we're going to start putting in the pieces together. This image is a guitar with, you know, a dog and a cat sitting next to it. If the guitar is the most clearest one, put that piece together, put the pieces together. And if that's finding the team, if you don't have money, find somebody that has money. If you don't know how to find a deal, find somebody who knows how to get a deal. If you can find the deal, but you can't get approved on credit, find somebody who has credit worthiness. The point is whether you have to bring a bunch of people. Now, if you're a rock star and you are super fiscally responsible and saving 50% of your retirement money, and you got 75 grand in the bank, and you got a credit score of 825, and your best buddy happens to be a licensed real estate agent and has access to a bunch of deals or is a wholesaler, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
No excuse.
And then I just want to cap it out in this, right? Because I meet a lot of military people that are super analytical, and then they start going into analysis paralysis, and they're going to find 100 reasons why this deal isn't okay. Stop it. This is what they say in real estate. The best time to buy real estate was when? Yesterday. So, interest rates are 7.5. Who cares? Now, I'm specifically talking to the military veterans who have a VA ability to be able to get and leverage a loan with 0% down. This is what I'm saying. If you get a place and 100% of it is covered by somebody else paying for that, by you house hacking or whatever it is you're doing, who cares if the interest is 15%? You ain't paying for it.
Exactly.
But I want to make $200 cash profit. Then that's why you're never going to get on base. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to make money. Everybody wants to make a ton of money. But you're not necessarily going to get the big win. As long as it's covering, like, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not saying don't go after making passive income. That's not what I'm saying, because that's exactly what your whole program is about. All I'm simply saying is, this is what I told my daughter. Your PITI, your principal interest, taxes, and insurance is $690. You're collecting $900 a month from the two girls that live in your room. Are you losing? No. I'm like, what if you were making $690? Are you losing? No, because 100% of the cost. Now, people are going to be like, well, what about maintenance and stuff? Okay, I'm trying to give you the global overarching thing. If you ain't spending your money, then you're winning. So back to your question is, you just got to align yourself with the other people that have the missing pieces of the puzzle that you don't have if you can't do it unilaterally. And guess where you find those people? In places like this.
Hey, ADPI Nation. Did you know that ADPI Con 2023 is going down in San Antonio at the beautiful Westin Riverwalk? Join me and the entire ADPI team from October 27th to the 29th for the largest military real estate investing conference of the year. Tickets are on sale now and include some amazing perks like seeing international best-selling author of The Miracle Morning, Hal Elrod, speak live on stage, an ADPI swag bag to include a copy of our number one best-selling book, Military House Hacking, and in-person networking with the ADPI team and 300-plus military real estate investors who collectively own thousands of units and billions of dollars of real estate, plus much, much more. I promise that you'll walk away from ADPI Con with an action plan outlining the exact steps you need to take to rank up in the real estate game. Here's the skinny, though. We've already sold out of 4 ticket tiers, and we will definitely sell out of the rest soon. If you want in, head over to www.adpicon.com now to secure your seat. And as a special perk for our faithful listeners, when you rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and email podcast@activedutypassiveincome.com with the subject ADPICon, I'll send you a 25% off discount code that applies to any remaining ticket tier. Guys, that's a savings of $500 on our few remaining platinum level tickets. So All you have to do is rate and review the show, email me with the subject ADP icon at podcast@activedutypassiveincome.com, and head on over to www.adpicon.com to get your tickets and save hundreds. I'll be seeing you at ADP Icon 2023. Now, let's get back to the show.
That's it, man. Go to
ADPI campus, baby. That's it. Go to campus.
You got to do it, man. You got to do it.
Because so a couple things to unpack there. I love the energy, Jamie. man, I love it. I love it. But one of the guys, one of our heroes, Wes Thompson, Army. He's separating now, or in the process of separating E9, and he posted during one of our launch party for ADPI campus. He was watching it, and he posted something like in the chat, and that goes to this proximity thing. Like I call it the 3-foot rule. You call it proximity, but my 3-foot rule is, hey, tell everyone real estate investing, that you're interested in real estate investing, to everyone in a 3-foot radius around you. And then the partners will actually come to you. You don't have to be like overt about it and be like, oh, well, I'm a real estate investor or something like that, but just like kind of work it out. And that's what you were doing, Jamie, when you were talking to, you know, talking to people in your platoon and battalion and all of that. So he said, Wes posted the chat. He goes, I was in the men's room using the urinal, and the battalion commander came up next to me and started talking and saying like, hey, I saw you posting a lot in the active duty passive income community. You're pretty, you're pretty active in there. But his battalion commander, you know, 05, is coming up and talk to him about this stuff. But that's the power. Like, you just start sharing the knowledge that you've learned, share it with other people in that proximity. And you never know. You never know what's going to happen from that. But yeah, it's just like you said, man, like, we are so excited about campus, because for the first time in ADPI's history, we finally have a space for people to not only find partners, literally find partners, but also find, post, and trade deals live. Say you have a deal like, hey, I want to sell this house, but I don't want to, whatever, you're a licensed agent or you're working with an agent, who cares? Doesn't matter if it's listed, it's not listed, don't care. But you're like, I want to sell it to another member of the Active Duty Passive Income community. I want to pay it forward. Say that's your thing. And it's a good deal and whatever. You have that opportunity.
Yep.
And you can go and do that. Or on the flip side, hey, I'm looking to buy deals. I mean, one of the guys just posted his 10 unit that he's selling in Pensacola. I mean, it cash flows like a champ. Yep. 10 doors just like that. And you know, you bring a couple partners together and you can go and take that down. And where are you going to find the partners? Right in campus. So the proximity and the power of technology and how we're combining that at ADPI to empower the military community to own more of the land that they swore, they rose their right hand and they swore to protect and defend. That's it. That is the power. That is why I'm so passionate. That's why, you know, Jamie, you're joining me on this podcast. And that's why thousands of people are listening right now, because that passion is what's going to fuel you to your first deal and to your next deal and the deal after that. And it's really, really, really important stuff. Jamie, yeah, I mean, you shared a ton of information. I want to talk, before we go into the bonus round, I want to talk about more about this, the boutique hotel and kind of this. So pretty much your story, you were in debt and you started partnering up and taking down deals. Was the boutique hotel like the first kind of big deal in the portfolio? And if so, we kind of talked about at the top of the show, what drove you to that, the behind the scenes, what drove to that decision-making, why boutique hotel, all of this stuff. But is there something that you learned from operating from that deal specifically? Is there something that you learned that you think would be helpful to share with the audience?
Dang, there's so many things I try to think of.
You have to choose one. No, well,
let me just say this real quick. So I did not jump in with a single family. I jumped in with a 12-unit apartment complex. We bought the entire thing on 2 acres. For people
that was your first deal, like in the, like you were in like hundreds of thousands of dollars at six figures in debt, and you said 12 unit.
Yes.
Dude, I love that.
I told you I jumped on the airplane and remembered that I forgot my chute. And everybody's my wife's like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, just hang on. So anyway, and to make matters worse, for you that don't know with about commercial real estate, typically apartment units are classified and by levels of A, B, and C, right? So like a C minus is you're in the hood, like shit's getting real, you're probably going to get shanked or something like that. And an A plus is like tons of amenity, newly renovated and everything in between.
Luxury, yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, at this point, there's not technically a D category, but it's frequently used.
If it's there, it's in Fayetteville.
Yeah. Well, it's typically used within real estate conversations when you meet with other investors. They'll use it. So I'm telling you right now, this was a solid D plus, right? Woof. It should have been bulldozed over, to be quite frank. There was heroin addicts in there. Look, these things were built in 1965. And when we demoed the inside of it, there was a heavy set couple that was living in this place. It, so much mold. Nobody should have been living in there.
Oh my God.
There was literally, no bullshit, 1 2x8 board spanning 17 feet holding up the entire bathroom. Had that not been a piece of lumber from 1965, it probably would have already caved in. And I said, I cannot believe that people were living in these places. It absolutely blows my mind. So I paint that picture because we ran into every possible obstacle that you could. When you talk about doing land development, which is all the infrastructure prior to building it, it was there, but we had to redo it. We didn't own the property for 30 days and three of the septic systems were failing. And the city basically said, we're not asking you, we're telling you, you got to tie into the sewer system. Excuse me? Mm-hmm. Well, what's that price tag? $100,000? Hello. I had only budgeted $500,000 for the whole project. Now, you know, spoiler alert, I grossly underestimated the cost and I grossly underestimated the time. I won't go any further than that. So I'm going to answer your question. If somebody said to me, what is the greatest thing that you learned from that getting started, is you got to find somebody that can really show you how to do these construction deals the right way. Now I'm talking about specifically with a full renovation thing. So, you know, if this hadn't needed that, then that maybe that wouldn't have been my primary thing. But the fact of the matter is, at that point in my life, I had changed maybe a couple light fixtures in my house, a door handle, mm-hmm. something like that. But
you're not a contractor,
no,
by any means.
So yeah. I got ran through the coals. There was tons of shit that I was told we should do, but the reality is probably wasn't necessary, but I didn't know what I didn't know. So I had to learn the hard way, and we have spent a lot of money that I shouldn't have spent and this and that. It was all an education, right? So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm going back to one of the things that we said in a previous segment, which is it's all about who, not how, right? So how are you going to renovate these things? Okay, that's we know that. But who's the person that's going to help you do it? Now, if you're listening to this podcast and you've been shadowing your father for 20 years and you're a carpenter by trade and you can do 98% of it, congratulations, man. Like, that's the piece that you're bringing to the puzzle. But guess what? This guy, not so much, right? They're like, yeah, don't worry about that crooked boy. It's all good. I'm like, looks weird to me. But I needed somebody else that was a subject matter expert that would come in and be like, bro, those guys, they're doing you sideways. Mm-hmm. So you just got to make sure you have the right people. And I know that's a super vague question, but whatever the what is ever the priority for you in your particular first deal, if that's money, make sure you have somebody that understands how to work the deal, knows how to underwrite it. Again, that's another facet we haven't talked about. Now, this is, again, typically going into more of multifamily because that's what I jumped into, right? But you got to have somebody that can underwrite the deal. Are the numbers going to work? I underwrote it myself. And honestly, I think I did a decent job for the fact that I had little to no experience other than podcasts and, you know, bigger pockets and stuff. But anyway, so that doesn't...
The who, not how. Yeah. No, that's clutch. I mean, I think that's when, you know, we go back to this metaphor of jumping off the cliff and then running into your first obstacle and all of that stuff. The obstacles are always going to be there. It doesn't matter if you are in the most expensive mastermind, you have read every real estate book under the sun, and you've listened to millions of hours of podcasts, you will still run into obstacles. But the power of your network is it's so expansive, because when you surround yourself with people who are a couple steps ahead of you and you're quote unquote the dumbest guy or dumbest girl in the room, which is kind of, you know, self-deprecating and kind of insulting, but it's just a perspective, you know, a perspective move.
I love
right?
that like, perspective.
Yeah, I know. I want to be there. And I join masterminds and pay big time money to be in those masterminds to leverage those networks, but it's not just your network. So if you have an issue, and you're like, oh man, I think Terry over here has dealt with this issue. Let me talk to Terry. And you go and call this person. And this person, yeah, no, I've dealt with that issue, but you really need to talk to Joe. And that's the power of the network, because Terry's has maybe a bigger network than you or a more focused network than you. And he says, let me introduce you to Joe, because he's really going to be able to help you. And that is really where people, what a lot of people, especially newbie real estate investors, don't understand about networking. They're just like, oh yeah, it's whoever I have in my Rolodex or in my phone. No. It's whoever you have in your phone and whoever those people have in their phone. So if 100%. You're networking, if your network is full of other people who are professional networkers, like, I don't know, other entrepreneurs or people in high-level masterminds or whatever, then you're going to be able to get things done just faster and more efficiently. And when you run into issues, you'll have someone to call who has experience doing that. And it goes, you know, when someone calls you and they have an issue, guess what? You gotta stop what you're doing and you gotta help that person. That's just how it goes. That street runs two ways, but that's really how you get over any obstacle. Any obstacle.
I love the last thing you just said. I believe in the law of reciprocity, right? Mm-hmm. And you gotta be value added. And actually, I'm not gonna say this one piece because you're gonna get to it later. But anyway, this is what I'm gonna say, dovetailing off of what you just said, is everything that you said, 100%. And then for the people there that do have some trepidation or they may go in there, let me offer you this as well. If you haven't figured it out, I'm pretty much an extrovert. However, I'm not a great icebreaker, right? So I used to wear these crazy ass shirts and people would be like, why do you wear that ugly shirt? And I'm like, because one of two things is going to happen. Somebody's going to come up and they're going to tell me that shirt is super dope, or they're going to say that shirt's super ugly. Either way, we're in a conversation now, right? So that's why I used to do it. My point of, you're like, what's the relevance to this conversation, Jamie? Where are you going with this? Here's where I'm going with it. What I'm saying to you is this. When I first went to my first mastermind, I sat in a corner and I was a silent participant, right? I was slightly intimidated by these guys that were doing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of deals. They've been in the business for 15 years, right? Like, how am I going to ask this dude a question, right? And am I going to come up to him with that quintessential phrase that everybody uses? Hey, can I pick your brain? Right? These dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Their time is incredibly valuable. So with that being said, if you pull the trigger and you spend $100,000, $500,000, $1,000, $10,000, I'm sure you'll agree with me. Some of these things are $50,000 a year to be part of these groups, right?
Big time.
Don't do what I did initially and get in there and be, you know, the silent investor. Like, that's not going to do anything for you. Get in the mix, ask the questions that you want to know, or at the very least, put yourself right in the middle and listen to these conversations. The knowledge that's coming from there, you are shaped. I said proximity, right? Here's the other phrase I love, right? I want to collapse my time sector. So it took Jamie, myself, it took me 36 months to go from -6 to 4 million, right? How do I take somebody else and say, let's make you do that in 18 months, right? Mm-hmm. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. And you could do that by putting yourself in and around those people that are going to constantly mentor you and help you shave off your timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. And that value proposition, like you said, it goes both ways. And if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast, right, and you're like, well, I don't have anything to value, or I don't have anything valuable about me or anything to offer, that's complete bullshit. Because you do, because especially when you're talking to the civilian sector or other entrepreneurs, they don't understand what we've been through and they want to understand. And even just that level of understanding will help them. And, you know, you can dovetail that into a relationship. Jamie,
one more point.
One more thing.
Is that one of my current mentors says this all the time, and it's related to what you just said. You are literally one person away from changing your life forever.
Correct.
And I'm not saying it's the next one. All I'm saying is, keep talking. You are one person away from changing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun. Eric Upchurch, one of the founders of ADPI, he shares this story. His first ever networking event, real estate networking event, he met a contractor. He was sitting at the same table as him, met this contractor dude. Long story short, they started doing live and flips together. That one conference where I think he paid like $500 for the ticket or something like that, that one conference literally made him six figures in the span of a year.
Exactly.
That one relationship, that one conversation led on to other conversations and they started doing deals together. I mean, that's it. You got to surround yourself with those people. And before we get into the bonus round, I'll talk about ADPICon. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't have your ticket yet, number one, they may be sold out. I don't know. Number two, if they're not sold out, go and get your butt over to ADPICon.com. and get yourself a ticket. San Antonio, October 26th, 27th, 28th. No, I lied. October 27th, 28th, 29th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days on the Riverwalk. It is going to be incredible. We got Hal Elrod keynoting, Rod Cleef keynoting. We got Jay Scott from Bigger Pockets keynoting, not to mention a room full of military real estate investors and your future business partners, all there in one spot. So, Jamie, we got to take you to the bonus round. I know we can talk forever. And in fact, I'm going to have you back on this podcast because there's a lot more to talk about. And I'm vibing very hard.
Love it.
But let's crush these questions. It's the same four questions I ask each and every guest on the Active Duty Passive Income podcast. Number one, my friend, what book or software has really been crushing it for you lately?
I just recently read Patrick Bet Davis' book, Your Next Five Moves, and it just really resonated with me in so many ways. But as the title kind of alludes to, it's like, are you thinking 3 to 5 moves ahead? Because if you're not, you know, you're thinking too small and you're also not thinking strategically enough. Or this is typically a military-centric community that we're talking to. And so with that said, I tell my son all the time in the military, I said, everybody said, how did you get all the assignments that you did? You got to be thinking 2 to 5 years ahead. And real estate investing is no different. So Patrick Beck David book, Your Next Five Moves, I think is a phenomenal read.
I love that. Yeah. And I'm going to order that right away. Question number two for you, my friend, who is your biggest hero and why?
So it's funny because before this started, I told you, I don't have an answer to this question. And you're like, yeah, you know, you just whatever comes to your mind. Well, it just came to my mind as I'm sitting there answering question number one. If you ask me today, I think Patrick Beck David is a huge inspiration to me. And I'm going to tell you why. That dude also, right, Iranian descent, immigrated from Iran, came over here, joined the military, was in the 101st, got out, you know, did work at Bally's Gym, then did a bunch of other type of entrepreneur stuff and finally got involved with insurance sales. Anyway, built a multi hundreds of millions. It's probably even billions. Honestly, I don't know the exact number, but huge, huge, huge. He just recently sold it for stupid money, as we like to say, FU money. Right. Mm-hmm. And now he has another podcast that's all about educating, very much similar to ADPI, but more just on economics, global, like, you know, all that type of stuff. So I would say right now, he's a huge inspiration for me for what he's been able to achieve and all his stories about the trials and tribulations that he went through in order to get to the level. Because everybody thinks, oh man, once I get $1 million, it stops. It doesn't stop. When you go to the $10 million, you're going to have more problems. When you go to the $50 million, the $100 million, the problems don't stop. People are suing you. They're threatening your life. I'm not there. These are stories I'm listening to from my mentors, right? But I'm already thinking ahead. So anyway, the answer to the question is PBD, as he likes to go by.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's incredible. And one of my mentors, they told me that there is, in life and in business specifically, there's always a massive dump truck full of shit that is in reverse, like, you know, and it's about to dump right on your head. And the further you get along in a business and the more successful your business, that dump truck comes fewer and far in between, but it still comes and it still dumps on you. In the beginning, it feels like it's dumping on you every week. And you're just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But as you grow your business and you build more systems and automation and you know, hire more employees and do all this stuff, it still comes, but it just comes less often. And maybe there's more shit in the truck this, you know, when it comes. But the point is the problems, they're going to be there. But in business and being an entrepreneur and coming out of the military into entrepreneurship, I've learned that we are able to put up with a lot more of this stuff than normal people are, just because we have that resilience from our training built into it. And we have that perspective that we both spoke about earlier. So if you're worried about jumping into real estate or having like, oh no, all those problems are going to happen and all this stuff, don't worry about that. And go ahead and get yourself that book, The Next Five Moves, because that'll help you kind of stay away from that truck or at least predict when it's coming. Question number three, my friend, what do you like to do for fun?
This is going to sound ridiculous, but it's absolutely true. Is I love to look at real estate. so listen, before I retired, I had this moment, right? And it was right after we purchased, because we got that 12-unit complex with my partner. Again, we'll probably have to peel back this onion at another date and time, because clearly my mouth flaps like a duck's ass in whippoorwill time. So you weren't able to probably get the half of this.
I haven't even heard of that one before.
Yeah, neither did I. My mom threw that one at me and I had to Google it. And that was like 25 years later. So now I know it's a bird. Anyway, boy, where were we going? Oh, you asked me, what do I like to do?
Oh, what do you like to do for fun? No real estate, Jamie. Human beings have fun. What do you like to do?
This is what I tell people, because I'm 51 now. Good food, great atmosphere, great conversation. Right. I'm happy. Last night, just took my brother's wife and my nephew out to a really nice dinner. Felt good about myself. They enjoyed it. When their facial expressions as they're swallowing their South African lobster, I was like, that's worth everything. Love it.
There you go. There you go. Hey, man, foodie. I love food. And food, conversation, company. That's an incredible, just incredible thing. All right. We got to wrap this up. Okay. But this is the most important question, Jamie. Three nuggets of wisdom. You have obviously been through a lot. You have a lot more perspective than a lot of us, a lot of our listeners, coming from your military background, even from your childhood, coming into the military, what you did in the military, and then kind of parlaying that into business and where you've been and where you are and where you're heading. If you had three nuggets of wisdom for folks, and you've shared a ton already, but whether you want to summarize those or come up with some new ones, what would those be for that person who is listening to this podcast and they're like, yeah, Jamie, I get it, but I'm just, I can't jump over that cliff.
Yeah. Well, nugget number one is, if you start, hire an accountant from day one. I don't care how good you are at math. Math is the only subject that I'm good at. Listen, I applied myself 0% in school, but I still got 90s in math because it's just come natural to me. So I thought that I could handle it. I'm great with spreadsheets, but here's the second that you start talking about depreciation and how much money and interest you owe to people, you don't want none of that, man. Like, you can have the conversation with your accountant and your CPA, but again, nugget number one is this. If you start this shit, budget for and utilize a professional, real estate-minded tax advisor, CPA, all-encompassing or variation thereof, in order to be successful out of the gate. That's nugget number one. Nugget number two, you already said it. We've already said it, but it's quintessential. It's critical. You have to do it. And that is, you have to surround yourself. You are the total sum of the five people you hang out with the most.
Yes.
So think about that. Write down who those people are. And if one of those is negative Nancy or negative Nick, and they're always there on your shoulders talking about, that's ridiculous, you can't buy a 12-unit park, McComplin, turn it into an upscale. Love you, bro. Talk to you later. I'm not saying you can't go out and have a drink with him. He can't be part of your daily lifestyle, because he's not going to help you get there. You need people that are rowing in the same direction, cheerleading the shit out of you. Like, let's do this thing. Come on. You know? So surround yourself with the people thing. And let's see. For the final, constantly, continuously educate yourself. We've made reference to multiple books. You see a ton of books behind me. Traction, The E-Myth, Good to Great. You know, the list goes on and on. These are all phenomenal, phenomenal books. And in fact, I'm going to close it out by saying this. I told you that I have five children. Four of them are up and out. When every single one of my children leaves the household, just like Little House in the Prairie, I stack three books with the little twine like Laura Ingalls got right on top of there. And I give them three books and I tell them these three things. Number one, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Why? Yep. People say, well, it's not relevant to modern day age. I disagree. I think there's still a lot of very fundamental things that you need to understand, but this will help you understand how to build relationships and connect with people. Number two, Gary Keller's The One Thing. This is your all-encompassing book about, you know, really, if I'm oversimplifying it, habit construction. What is the one thing you're going to do today that's going to change tomorrow and next week, and it's going to have a ripple effect like throwing a stone across the lake, man? That's what you want to see, so you can see real scalability, real growth, and there. And then the final one, we already mentioned it, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. This is your financial guidebook to know this. And here's for anybody who's listening to this podcast that's never read the book before. Sorry, Richard Kiyosaki. I'm going to simplify it by just saying this. If your money ain't making you money, you're doing it wrong. That's it. And I wasn't doing that before. I was spending like I was a millionaire, but all I was doing was digging a hole where it was getting so dark, I could barely even see that there was light above there anymore. So don't do that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And God, I love that idea of just, I'm probably going to do the same whenever I have children is get these books and just, this is the gift of knowledge. And I mean, it's just so, so powerful because, you know, I feel blessed that I figured this out when I was 27. And there's a lot of people that don't figure this out until they're 40, 50 and beyond. And, you know, like to have a head start and read that and get exposed to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I mean, that changed my life. And then to take action on it, I think that's the next step. You got to take action. But Jamie, this has been absolutely incredible. For folks who want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, well, I'm on all the social media platforms. And then if you want to talk about any type of investment, it's my first name, Jamie, at redhencapital.com.
Redhencapital.com. And I saw you when I was talking about ADP Icon, I saw you vigorously writing things down. So maybe I'll convince you to get to San Antonio in October and you might see him there. I'll call him out right now. You're going to go? You're going to be there?
Actually, I'm looking at those dates and I got to bounce it off my wife. I've gotten in trouble for double stacking, but
no!
I know for a fact that I have a mastermind in I'm attending a mastermind. I'm not running it, but I'm attending a mastermind in Arizona in October. I do not think that the dates overlap. The answer to your question is, if they don't, I'll be there.
Woo! And bring your wife too. It is very spouse friendly and I think it's going to be just a fantastic thing. So Jamie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You have inspired so many and I'm definitely going to be reaching out to get a follow-on episode because we got a lot more to dig into, a lot of stuff that we didn't get to talk about today. But I know the whole ADPI community is going to love you for it. So thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Another amazing episode in the books. Thanks so much to our special guest and thank you for listening. Don't forget to tap the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss an episode. Or head over to our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to grab all of our free resources and discover how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today.